we need to shift, I believe, the focus and parameters of the debate and even the thinking process beyond the traditional boundaries of economy and ecology. Now, as I said before, the economic argument is self-evident, but it is not strong enough to make any breakthrough. That's the reality of 50 years of international development cooperation. Now,
what is the economic argument?
The economic argument is that inefficiency anywhere in the world, in a global shrinking world, affects efficiency anywhere else. That you cannot have in the Western world the living standards which you are now used to, which you are not accustomed to, too long, if two-thirds or one-third of the world lags behind. The sooner or later catches up with you. After all, you depend on the rest of the world for resources, raw materials, market, and trade. Now, if the rest of the world, one-third, two-thirds, just continues to be undeveloped, you cannot maintain the living standard for too long. That is the economic argument. Economic argument is, as I said, shrinking world and trade, and you cannot have, where is the money for people to buy goods if they do not have a means of earning income? So the economic argument has been there for too long, but somehow it doesn't, when it comes to policy making, public opinion, it's not cutting ice. So that we got to, the reality is that. Now, the other point is, again, the articulate public opinion in the industrialized countries are pretty much the grown-ups. Okay, people have got a career, people have got a, went through the college and got a job, and they have family, and their only concern is to maintain, they want the children to go to best schools, enjoy best medical facilities, have a kind of a insulated environment in which they want to live. Now, the other side, the younger people, the younger generation, or to the extent I can understand, are not so much consumed by consumerism. Okay. Now, idealism is pretty much dissipating, if not vanishing, in this I call the grown-up generation. But idealism is still there to some extent in the younger generation. But therefore, if you want to build a constituency for international development cooperation, you must also shift the focus, not completely ignore, not completely sidestep, but broaden the base from the what I call the grown-ups to the younger people who are going to college and who are going to university and who are searching for a meaning in their life. There is, as you know, younger generation more than adults, there is a certain amount of, they feel a void inside. Okay, I have a good life. I can afford the good things of life. But what does it all mean? So you must somehow tap that unrest, that quest for a meaning to this idea of helping those in need. If you can bring the two together, their quest for meaning and the need to shift part of the developed countries' wealth and resource to developing countries, then I think you can build the what I call the critical mass for change. If the developing world who are trying to develop their economies to the level where their people can have the basic necessities of life, a decent food, a shelter, and a job. If you cannot say that because the rest of the world, the global environment is endangered, you put a stop to your economic development or ecological this thing. And they say that no, you are sitting pretty. Use the resources as you wished. Even now, the developed world uses by far the largest chunk of resources. Okay, the air, the water, the oil, the minerals, and all these things. So you have reached a stage now when you can say that for the sake of global ecological stability, you stop your development. And that's not going to carry conviction, nor is it fair. So therefore, you must find a way by which the developed countries transfer resources to developing countries. Therefore, the developing countries do not have to exploit their own resources, their own ecological resources, to the extent they want to develop, to maintain a certain standard of living. If you leave to themselves, they are going to burn the forest, they are going to do everything required, coal and everything they do, because otherwise the people will be in poverty. So that is the argument. The argument can be that if you want the global ecology to be safeguarded, if you want the environment pollution to be removed, then you cannot simply ask developing countries not to do what they are doing, harmful it may be, but necessary in their point of view. And we say, okay, you do that, and I will give part of my wealth to you to do what you need to do to lift your economy and ecology.